He's going to hope it's going to, like, you know, blow him up and become the new, you know, Disneyland.
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah. That's really doesn't work out, does it?
No, it doesn't. When it get off the ground.
Well, maybe a little.
Yeah,
a little bit. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Art of Costume Blogcast. It is me, Spencer Williams. Thank you so much for joining me for part two of my conversation with costume designer Alex Bovaird. Today, we are going to be talking about Jordan Peele's new film, Nope. It is so good. I've seen it twice now, and I'm probably going to go in for a third time. It is that good. The costume design is incredible. The film is horrifying. You all know how I feel about I have a monkey phobia. Let's just put it plain and simple. So those Gordy scenes really scared the life out of me. I'm still shaking. But before we dive into it, let me give you a quick summary and then we'll dive behind the wardrobe. Nope is about two siblings who run a California horse ranch, discover something wonderful and sinister in the skies above, while the owner of an adjacent theme park tries to profit from a mysterious otherworldly phenomenon. And that is Nope. Going behind the wardrobe, this was brought to us by writer and director Jordan Peele, a legend. I love this man. He is so incredible. And of course, we have costume designer Alex Bovaird. Her notable work, The White Lotus. If you did not hear our part one that came out just a couple days ago, please listen to that as soon as this episode is done. She also did Bad Education, The Unforgivable, The Spy Who Dumped Me, The Foreigner, and Sorry for Your Loss. So let's dive back into our conversation with Alex about the costumes of Nope.
Hello, Blogcast listeners. It's Elizabeth Joy Glass, co-host and producer of the Art of Costume Blogcast. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all your support. If you wanted to continue your support, you can now become one of our costume mavens when you become our patron at patreon.com/theartofcostume. There we post unheard bloopers, highlights, and you can even catch our monthly bonus episodes for patrons only. Make sure to check out the description for a link to our Patreon.
I'm so excited to have Alex Bovaird back. This is our first, actually, Alex, I haven't told you, our first two-parter episode. Never have we ever done an episode and been like, we have two things to talk about this week. So, congrats.
That's great. I'm a twofer. Two for the price of one. We love twofers in costumes, too.
Right.
Turned inside out. What a genius invention.
So did Nope come before or after The White Lotus?
So Nope happened directly after The White Lotus.
I had a feeling, and that is insane. What a crazy change of pace, I must imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I preferred the weather on White Lotus. Nope was filmed out in like near Lancaster, sort of an hour from LA. And
it was hot,
July,
wasn't it?
In August and September. This summer, I feel, I'm not there now, but I feel like the summer is better. But last summer was just brutal. And because of all the stunts and helicopter shots, there wasn't a lot of places for us to stand and get shade.
I mean, it's 90 degrees today and I'm not in Lancaster, but I'm an hour.
It was like 110, 115 most of the time. If it was 90 degrees, it felt cool.
Yeah, that's terrible. But I love this movie. I'm a big fan of the Jordan Peele films. Us is one of my favorite movies. Costume design by Kim Barrett. Get Out, costume design by Nadine Haters. And now we have Nope, costume design by Alex Bovaird. What does it feel like to be a part of this legacy, I guess, of these new Jordan Peele films that are really taking the world?
I couldn't be happier that the film is being received very well. And I'm very proud of working with Jordan and grateful that the opportunity came my way, because it was very, very particular, his way of working is very collaborative, you kind of evolve a lot as you go. And he's a super nice guy, super funny, really lovely to work with. And it's just been a real privilege to work with someone who's got such a authentic and singular and original voice. It was great.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah, as we said in the last episode, I was finishing The White Lotus and booking my ticket for Nope at the same time. And your name came up again. I was like, what? Like, she is everywhere. And so it's so crazy that we're talking about this. Okay, let's talk about the characters. Kiki Palmer's character, M, or Emerald. I was obsessed with her costumes. She just brings so much joy to this movie, even though it's a really deeply, to me, scary film, but also very mysterious and has a lot of impactful messages behind it, too. But every time Kiki Palmer is on the screen, you kind of smile a little bit, even when things are going really wrong. Let's dive into her costumes. It's all very fun. I love her. The first costume we see her in, that like green with the cheetah print look and the pink. She's not afraid to play with color.
She is not. And she is indeed an electrifying personality, Kiki. And then also, you know, diffused into her character, Emerald. And we thought a lot about that first costume. She actually, there's a bit cut out of the movie. She wakes up. She wakes up on Hollywood Boulevard. She's homeless.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She has like a big coat on that she's sleeping in, and then she leaves that. And then you cut to where you meet her now. We wanted to start strong with the color. We always loved green and pink together. Got another fan of pink. So, you know, I remember seeing the Nutcracker when I was little, and just loving the production I saw was full of green and pink. And I just loved that ballet combination ever since. So we got it in there and we liked green, emerald, green. There's lots of, she's called Emerald because of the Wizard of Oz and the Emerald City. Mm. And so we put green on her. Jordan wanted her to have like a flash of green here and there, being Emerald.
And I love that she's against a green screen too, when we first see her too. Like, clearly she just didn't know what she was running into.
She wasn't planning that, you know. And as a costume designer, I was like, wait, she's going to be in front of the green screen. We can't do that. You know, it was another little, almost like an inside joke, because you'd never do that in costumes.
Right.
But Jordan was like, no, that's exactly why she should be wearing. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I guess we've never seen it before. So green on green.
And then I noticed there's a lot of, graphic t-shirts used throughout the film, and she's wearing one particularly that I love. It's like this cartoon coyote look that looks really familiar to me, and I can't put my finger on it, but it is so cool. I need it.
It's so it's a wolf, and it's a band t-shirt by a band called the Jesus Lizard. So I was looking for band t-shirts because the conceit is that she's wearing angel's clothes at that point.
Right.
It's another thing that's not explicit that I think Jordan likes you to pick up on after a while, is that why is she suddenly wearing this, you know, random t-shirt?
But yeah, well, we'll talk about that later. But I noticed that because they go through quite a night before they get dressed. So,
yeah, they go through a rainstorm and they run away, and some time has passed and they need some dry clothes. So So I found that t-shirt and I loved, I was looking for bands that made sense for Angel to be listening to. And this was in the same ballpark. And then I loved that graphic and had this weird Looney Tunes vibe and this drooling sort of driving force that I thought was really great for that particular moment.
I love it. And I like to imagine it would also look good on Angel too, if you were to wear it too. So it's kind of a cool characterization you have to think about.
Yeah, exactly. We had to imagine it was Angel's own garment.
And then I was so excited to see Daniel Kaluuya come back for another Jordan Peele film. He kills it as OJ. His costumes are a little bit more understated because he's, you know, he's working hard. He's not really dressing up like Kiki Palmer is. But some of his looks, though, do really pack a punch. I am a big fan of the Scorpion King hoodie. I don't know why, but I remember seeing a Scorpion King and being one of the few people that loved this movie. So now I really want a Scorpion King hoodie.
I know. I wish I had taken some and I could give you one. There were many, many Scorpion King hoodies, and it has a cult following. Like, I think every choice has to mean a lot of things for Jordan. So when we were coming up with titles, it had to make sense on a number of levels. And then the color orange, I mean, we wanted something bright. It was going to be neon at one point, but we settled on this orange and over-dyed it and did a lot of work on it to try and make it look older. And, you know, it gets dirty, it gets dusty, the stunts.
Yeah, it looks like it's from, you know, the early 2000s, maybe. I don't remember when Scorpion King came out, but it's been a while. So it looks like it's from the set.
Yes, good. We tried to make it look that way and give it a lot of aging. And, you know, there's really nothing like a 20-year-old hoodie than a 20-year-old hoodie, because, like, it, you know, it hangs a different way and you can work really hard on it and as much as you want, and probably still not quite the right shape, but we did really try. And the thing is that once you get out into the desert, everything gets so blown out anyway. I remember the first few days just looking at the aging we did on some other stuff, just going, wow, it looks brand new. And we spent like a week aging it because the sun is so bright out there.
Right.
Yeah. The Scorpion hoodie. I've got one. Like I say, I wish I'd taken some more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, me too, but it's okay. And he also is wearing a graphic tee. That's a Rage Against the Machine t-shirt, which is also Angel's, I believe. Oh, wait, is that Angel's yet? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, she's wearing her shirt too.
Yes, it's Angel's. Yeah. It's the idea is that they both end up with some clothes of Angel's, and also just another strong color. The Rage Against the Machine t-shirt says, it's better to die on your feet than, no, it's better to fight on your feet than die on your knees, is what it says. So it also seemed like apt for him for that moment where they're about to go back and do or die, take on the entity. And I'm prone to the sort of alt rock, post punk, proto grunge era myself too. So
right.
fun to buy expensive vintage t-shirts from the internet that I can't really afford myself.
Right. Well, they really made the moment. It says so much about what these characters are going through. Lots of foreshadowing. They're getting ready to go to war. So lots of fun. I am obsessed with Brandon, who plays Angel Torres. He starts off in his work uniform, actually, which was quite a bit funny. Reminded me of like Circuit City, Radio Shack, I would say. Tell me about your costumes for Angel, besides all the costumes he lended to everybody.
Yeah, Angel was fun. He Brandon is just a swell guy and really upbeat. And it's funny, the first fitting we did with him, we made him pretty colorful. And, you know, we always wanted this sort of kaleidoscopic colorful palette that set against the dusty natural location so that it was you know, visually arresting, but also was like, we have imposed our, you know, commerciality on the planet. It was multi-layered concept, but but with, we tried like some colorful stuff on Angel, and it just wasn't, it felt like he's a bit of a cynical character, and we pick him up in this Fry's Electronics, and we wanted him to just be a little bit kind of depressing instead. So we instead went a whole nother direction and tried on, you know, his grungy t-shirts and kept him in a darker palette, which was really nice now that I look at it, balanced with the more colorful emerald. So our kaleidoscope wasn't quite as formed, but we had this sort of brooding over it all character to nail. So it helped us to put him in black and kind of played off Brandon's natural chirpiness.
Right. And I just a quick mention too, I remember Barbie was in the scene with Angel as well. That's two Euphoria girls in a row with White Lotus. And then what a weird coincidence.
She's in some other scenes that got cut too. She also had a really cool graphic tee. Really know a lot about graphic tees and reproducing them and aging them and multiplying them now. She's in a cool SeaWorld tee that the maybe in the extended version you'll see.
Yeah, I'll look out for it. So the character I really want to talk about is Steven Yeun as Ricky Jupe Park. Big Walking Dead fan, so seeing Steven in this was such a treat. And his UFO costume is really magical. I'm obsessed with it. I cannot find any pictures of the back of it. So when you see it in theaters, he turns around a couple of times and you're like, wow, that's some good stuff right there. We have to talk about his suit.
Yeah. So on the back of his red suit, he has a UFO embroidered onto it with a couple of those flowers as well. And the flowers were supposed to sort of represent the unfurling of the entity, which was always going to be something organic. And Jordan talked about,
oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. It was sort of about like octopus and jellyfish, and, you know, so it was sort of a little bit referencing that. And then he has the UFO on the back. And the whole idea is that Jupe it's like a preview for his new attraction. So he's invited friends and family, and he's going through his sort of ringmaster routine of, this is, you know, come on down to this new attraction. And so he puts on something pretty nuts, and him and his wife kind of have these modern cowboy and modern cowgirl outfits that they're affecting. And it's something he has specially made, and he's, you know, rehearsing for what's going to blow him up and become the new, you know, Disneyland.
Yeah. So. That's really doesn't work out, does it?
No, it doesn't. You want to get off the ground.
Well, maybe a little.
Yeah, a little bit.
I love his bolo ties. My good friend who, you know, you've worked with too, Mandy Lyne, she's always telling me to get into the bolo tie game. And at this moment, I was like, okay, maybe a little bit.
It's cool. I think I love a tie on someone. So it's just because it just makes them look so put together and handsome. But the bolo tie is a nice little touch. You should give it a whirl. Right. we like that he was, you know, affecting this. We played with the, you know, a lot of American tropes. So, you know, country music, cowboy, you know, the old West, the gold rush, right. Everything's wrapped up into his theme park, and, you know, subverted slightly because he's Asian. So it was fun to do that. And we always wanted to do something bold, and almost didn't get there. We almost put him in something completely different, but we kind of swung back around.
Oh yeah. I love it. I wasn't going to really talk about this, but now I'm kind of dying to. The tourists are at Jupiter's Claim. They're having a great time, but now that I'm looking at them, they feel like tourists. Like, I don't think they're from the LA area. They look like they're from just all over, which is kind of cool with the costumes.
So that day, so we dressed that they're like, they are theme park patrons. Right. So they have been invited to the friends and family opening night, but they have actually spent the day at the kind of rinky dink Jupiter's Claim, attraction. And so they're wearing, like, the kids have like bought, our research showed that at these places like Wild West City, then the kids kind of dress up, they buy these little hats and vests, right, and
Calico Ghost Town.
Exactly. They go like that, or maybe they buy some stuff from the gift shop. So the kids have got some little Western elements to them. And then the parents have just ridiculous t-shirts that I found. I love that weird emu. And then the dad is wearing a Universal Monsters t-shirt.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's got all the different monsters on, Frankenstein's on there, Dracula's on there.
Yeah, the emu shirt is just really catching my attention. I kind of want it, actually. It's really nice. It just really like looks the camera right in the eye.
Yeah, it's really, now that we're staring at it, yeah, it's really spooky. We did a lot of animal imagery because of the gaudy theme and the, you know, the UFO ends up being an animal or an entity or a creature. So we kind of, there's a lot of little Easter eggs in there that don't make it in, but this one did. And at one point, this family, they've got a name, the Dolans.
Oh.
They at one point they opened the movie. The script had them in the opening scene at one point, and then it was kind of shifted around. Felt like I was always planning things for the Dolans. So when they were just kind of extras, I made sure that, you know, they had strong costumes. Yeah,
gave them the White Lotus treatment.
Yeah, really want that. Yeah.
I love that. And I'm so excited. I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you have, that Universal Studios opened up their own Jupiter's Claim, which I'm just dying to go visit now.
I know. I really want to get into the kitsch of it all, too. There's some funny t-shirts that we made with the art department that are for sale. They're like, you can buy them. They are so like purposefully lame. They say like, I went to Jupiter's Claim and panned for gold or something.
I'm getting one immediately. I gotta go. Basic I'm like, this interview's over. I gotta go.
Yeah, no, can you buy me one? They're really awesome.
Yeah.
I think they just moved the whole set. They saved it and then they popped it up on the back floor. Yeah. Oh,
that's so exciting. I'll send you one for sure.
Thank you.
All right. We're coming near the end here. But first, you know, we're actually talking about this behind the scenes, but there is so much distressing to the costumes. I mean, the characters go through some really traumatic things. I mean, first we're in, you know, the desert of California, which I've grown up in. I'm from the high desert. So I know it is dusty as hell. Your clothes are dirty, faded. And there's also just so much blood and dust and, you know, trash. There's a lot happening here. Yeah. And somehow the trailers really make it look like everything's good. It's just, you know, another UFO movie. It's kind of quite sinister how they do it. But can we please talk about distressing? It's one of my favorite topics.
Yes. No, I thought the same when I saw the trailer, and I thought the costumes looked like crayons. And so I think they may have like done something to the process or something. But I mean, the costumes are still a lot of primary colors. And we tried to make these sort of, you know, almost like Disney versions of things. We're trying to make things loud, you know, larger than life. But in actuality, we did lots of aging and lots of distressing to these costumes, some of them to better effect than others. I remember Emerald's soccer jersey, you know, it's just made out of that fabric that like nothing is going to happen to this fabric, right, you know, unless you set it on fire. It's very difficult to degrade.
Oh, yeah.
But we did our best, and we, you know, aged it down And it's supposed to also be maybe OJ's old soccer shirt. And we had a million of both of these things that I'm looking at, like the orange hoodie and emerald green. We also had a lot of OJ's t-shirts and multiples. He had like 10 of a lot of his outfits, and they had to be aged down to match, which is really difficult. And we didn't have like a huge aging and dyeing team. We had a wonderful woman called Eileen who did everything, and she really worked around the clock. And sometimes we would make mistakes with the when you do the screen printing, the ink doesn't always come out exactly the same. Like, it's not an exact science. So some of the sweatshirts would come out and they wouldn't match. And then she'd have to try and sand it down so that it looked identical. I was always conscious of the fact that this was going to be on IMAX. Mm. So even if it kind of looked like it matched, once it's like giant on the screen, you have to make sure that every little sanded bit, you know, matches every little sanded bit. So It was definitely the bane of my existence, getting these things right. And then we had a wonderful guy called Hans, who was one of our costumers who'd worked on a lot of horror movies. And I remember he did, I was excited to hire him because he'd worked on a Freddy Krueger movie. I think it was one of the last ones, but still, like, a Freddy, you know, someone who'd worked on Freddy Krueger had to get hired on Jordan Peele's film. And he'd also worked on Kill Bill, and he was an expert on blood.
This is the guy you're looking for.
Exactly. He could take care of all of that and was very confident to throw it around. So I had a great team.
Yeah. Shout out to Eileen and Hans. Yeah. Are you yourself a horror movie fan?
I am. Less so lately. When I was younger, I had a bit of a horror movie fetish. I loved Freddy Krueger. I love the Halloween movies, the Hellraiser movies. I would always, you know, I think because they're slightly forbidden as well. So,
right. I feel like I'm the opposite. I feel like I grew up like, don't even think about turning a horror movie on or I'll fight you. And now it's like, that's all I watch. So. Yeah.
And like the psychological ones, like Rosemary's Baby, it's probably one of my top films. But the more suspenseful ones are the ones that, have you seen, Saint Maud?
I have not seen that one yet, but I've heard of it.
That is such a good one. It's another kind of creepy, psychological driven.
I'll put it on the list. And final question, speaking of horror movies, the Gordy's home scenes really were unsettling. I saw this movie by myself, like I said, and I was hiding behind my popcorn. I have a real thing about monkeys. So this was everything. But you did like some 90s period costuming for a little bit there.
Yeah, we did. And there's a lot more that got chopped too, that I'm pretty sure they're coming out with an extended version. So we'll get to see some of the missing holes. But those were a lot of fun. I felt like I was on Saturday Night Live or something, because it was, I got to really, do some comedy. And we also had to costume there's a chimp, but it's played by a guy called Terry Notary. And then they riff off his expressions. He acts the whole thing. Like, it's actually terrifying. He acted the whole thing that happens.
It's a very Andy Serkis kind of moment going on here.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we had to costume him, and it was a lot of fun.
Okay. So wait, so you actually did costume the chimp, Gordy?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's crazy. I was getting ready and I was like, I don't think she did. I'm not going to ask about the chimp, but that's crazy.
Yeah, everything that Gordy's wearing was fitted on a guy called Terry. And then they do their magic. The visual effects guy, Guillaume, his name is, that went and did whatever he did and like did such an amazing job. That chimp looks so real.
Yeah, a little too real if you were to ask me.
Yeah.
No, thank you. And with that, Alex, I've had such a good time talking with you. Just congratulations on everything. An Emmy nomination, a Jordan Peele movie. I mean, you're on fire right now.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thank you. It's I'm just love what I do. So it's been very enjoyable talking to you as well about about what I love.
It's a real honor. I love costume design, and you could tell by seeing your work that you also love it too. So I'm just real honored, and I can't wait to see what you do next. You teased White Lotus 2, and I'm just, after that, I'm so excited for even more.
Yeah, White Lotus 2, and then I just started in Reykjavik working on the new True Detective. So they're doing a new series of True Detective set in Alaska. So it has
nice.
It's cold this time. It's not tropical. It's not the desert. It's going to be snow. So I guess I'm moving to different season.
Yeah, that sounds kind of traumatic, all the different seasons you're going through. We went from Hawaii to California to Iceland. So
yes, and Sicily. White Lotus 2 is in Sicily.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That sounds bad for your body.
I know, it's probably not great, but it keeps life interesting. I love travel, so I'm lucky.
Well, thank you so much, Alex.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
What's up, costume nerds? This is Spencer, co-host and producer of the Art of Costume blogcast. I love the simple things in life: free parking, air conditioning, and a nice comfortable hoodie. If you feel the same way, then I'm here to let you know that if you wanted to support our show, you can head over to theartofcostume.com/podstore. There you can buy awesome blogcast merch through TeePublic, such as t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, and stickers. We even have a baby onesie for all those baby costume designers out there. To get your merch, head over to theartofcostume.com/podstore. Thank you for all your support. This was such a fun conversation talking about both The White Lotus and Nope. We could have talked forever. I didn't even play you the behind the scenes where Alex and I kept talking about the costumes for a long time. We've kind of become besties. She kind of wanted to give me a Scorpion King hoodie there for a second. She doesn't have any, but it's definitely the feelings there. I think we're besties now. Thank you all so much for listening. If you love this episode and want to tell me what your favorite costumes from Nope were, leave us a voicemail at 626-515-1826, or you could DM us. That works too. Next week, we are going to be watching Dairy Girls. Elizabeth will be back for that. Dairy Girls is one of her favorite shows on Netflix. She just had me watch it, so I'm excited to get into all the costumes. Until then, follow us on Instagram at The Art of Costume Pod, TikTok at The Art of Costume, Patreon at patreon.com/theartofcostume, merch store, theartofcostume.com/podstore. Get yourself a t-shirt, some stickers, laptop bags even. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star text review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We really appreciate it and helps keep the show going. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for bearing with just me this week. I know you're like, where's Elizabeth? She's coming back next week, but we had a good time, you and I. Thank you again to Alex Beauvaird for joining us for these two episodes. I can't say it enough. I loved our conversation, and she just brought so much insight. So thank you, Alex. Until next time, thank you, costume nerds. See you next week.
The Art of Costume blogcast is hosted and produced by Elizabeth Joy Glass and Spencer Williams. Our audio engineering and editing is done by Dan White. Follow us on Instagram at The Art of Costume Pod or visit theartofcostumeblogcast.com for all blogcast updates. If you want to support the show, go to theartofcostume.com/podstore. Or you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcostume for some bonus content. For more costume reviews, deep dives, and interviews, head over to theartofcostume.com, a blog dedicated to highlighting the best in costume design.